When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN. This is Grosser Us. Grosser Us. It's our way of saying thank you to the sports figures out there making headlines.
Oh, yes, indeed. I can't wait for this any longer. The time has arrived. It is indeed a fresh edition of Grosser Us. Here on 98.7 ESPN. It is a Saturday, and we haven't had a chance to do one of these for a couple of days. So you know what? We got a lot of stuff stored up. Think about all the material that we have. NBA playoffs, all the Knicks drama, the NFL draft from the last couple of days. So with that being said, of course, we're going to start with baseball. Because that's how we do things. But you know what? Even though there were only about six people at Citi Field last night, as the Mets couldn't get anything going against Miles Michaelis and they lose to the Cardinals. Mets better wake the hell up. I don't like this little funk that they're in right now. Get the bats going. But one of the areas that maybe they get some help is our pal J.D. Martinez, who made his season debut last night. I give him credit. Remember, I thought May 1st, but we'll take April 26th. You know, beat the deadline there by a couple of days. He had a couple of hits last night. Had himself an RBI double, so he got right into the swing of things. No pun intended. Here was JD talking about finally making his Met debut.
I made it. You know, it's one of those things. It's obviously frustrating, I think, on everyone's ends. I want to be here. Just getting enough time down there, you know, and just I think we kind of maybe try to get back a little bit too quick, try to rush back, kind of just flare it up a little bit. So it's like one of those things like, hey, let's just get this thing taken care of now so we can just move forward. That's about it.
And how about the status of that back? Remember, he had the shot, which set him back a few days here with something he was dealing with last year. Is he afraid that that's going to flare up again?
No, not this year. No, not this year. I've just felt it before. I felt it, you know, a dozen times throughout my career. So it's like one of those things where, hey, let's just take care of it now. And that one, I mean, when they did it last year in L.A., it lasted the entire season. So, you know, like I said, knock on wood, I'm hoping that it's the same result this year.
Tremendous content, by the way, online by the account, I can't remember who it was, that pointed out that J.D. Martinez has now passed Jed Lowry on the Mets' all-time hits list. That was well played. That was very well played. And by the way, today, get out to Citi Field. It's Citi Connect debut day with the brand new unis. That is right. It is happening this afternoon, Mets and Cardinals. I told you guys, they're not as bad as I thought they were going to be. I even bought a lid. Full disclosure, I bought a lid. The Citi Connect lid. I went all in and ordered one. How about that? So I'll be watching this afternoon, maybe. I don't know. I got some things to do. Harvey, let's move on, shall we?
Grosser Us.
All right, let's talk a little hockey. Congrats to the Rangers. They win last night. They are now 60 minutes away from punching their ticket to the next round and likely a date against the Carolina Hurricanes. Boy, Peter Laviolette can't help himself, right? It's like the Rangers only play teams or only going to play teams that he once coached. Washington, Carolina's going to be up next, either them or the Islanders. He coached both of those teams. But what does he think about this series, which his team now leads 3-0?
It still remains tight out here. It seems to be tight both ways from a 5-on-5 standpoint. It seems to be a lot of specialty teams. I mean, those are the trends that have kind of shown itself through the first 3 games is that where power play's got to be on point, penalty kill's got to be on point, and you got to really work hard in 5-on-5 to generate chances.
Well, here's the thing, and they're going to be able to get away with it against Washington, but if they want to have any shot against Carolina or whoever else they're going to square off against in this playoff run, they got to stop forming a conga line to the penalty box. I mean, that just won't cut it. I mean, 6 penalties last night, and the PK did a great job, but that's going to take its toll against a top-flight hockey club like you're going to see in the next round with the Carolina Hurricanes. Next one, Harv.
Grosser Us.
All right, let's do some hoops. And we still have – I'm ready for a game today. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I'm ready for another Knick game today. Like, let's get at it, all right? Even if it means I got to work, I'll work. I want a game today. I don't want to have to wait again until tomorrow, but maybe it does just build up the hype and the anticipation for that main event coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Nevertheless, Tibbs' team, they got punched in the mouth on Thursday. How's the response going to be in game number 4, Coach?
Each game is going to be different. You just got to respond. This is playoff basketball. It's going to go up. It's going to escalate. And we got to bring it. We got to bring it. And my thing is there's two teams. You know, they responded. Now we got to respond. We got to do a lot better. We got to fix it.
Well, one thing that they got to fix is they got to deal with Joel Embiid, not just for what he does as far as putting the ball in the basket, but for his antics and his crossing the line, shall we say, in terms of the flagrant fouls, which are completely unacceptable, should not have even been allowed to continue in that basketball game the other day. But here was Joel's account of what took place on that flagrant with Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, obviously, Mitchell Robinson jumping and, trying to land, trying to make sure he doesn't land on me, because obviously we know the history that I have with Kuminga landing on my knee. So I kind of had some flashbacks, you know, when he came down to it. It's unfortunate. I mean, I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I just, you know, in those situations, I gotta protect myself, because I've been in way too many situations where, you know, I'm always a recipient of, you know, bad, you know, the bad end of it. So, yeah, it was unfortunate. But physical game, they want to bring their physicality. We can be physical too, and we are. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
You know, let me give a shout out here while we have our opportunity. You know, I'll even break into a, you know, quasi round of applause here for 76ers PR, which I thought really, like, were made to work the other night. You know, for them to craft a nice little story that they fed to Joel for him to tell the media to try to give some, like, ludicrous explanation as for his actions the other night. I mean, for them to even go back to the Kuminga thing, I mean, that's doing your homework. And I know that Josh Harris, who owns the Sixers, he's a busy man, you know, like, he owns the Washington Commanders as well. So he was all caught up with the draft stuff, I'm sure, on Thursday night. But if he's been paying attention here, give the PR staff of the Sixers maybe an extra bonus in their next pay period, because that was gold. It really was. Come on. I'm trying to protect myself. You know what the baseball analogy of that was? The baseball analogy of that we heard, or the equivalent, 24 years ago with Roger Clemens throwing the bat at Piazza when he said, "I thought it was the ball." Right? Roger Clemens, "I thought that was the ball," is equal to Joel Embiid, "I was just trying to protect myself." Interesting. Let's move on, Harvey.
Cross us.
Yeah, let's do some football, right? A lot of draft stuff. We talked about it this morning, and we're going to continue talking about it. Let us hear from the guy who makes all the decisions for the New York Football Giants. That would be Joe Shane. A lot of people excited about that second-round pick, Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota. Some people think he's the best safety in the draft. Joe Shane got him. Here was his logic on the pick.
There was, but we were very fortunate to get Newbin there, a guy that we spent a lot of time with. You know, he had an injury. We went out to his pro day when he was healthy to see him out there. And obviously, you know, losing an X in the offseason to get Newbin at that value, a guy with high character, leadership, smart, tough, dependable, and then the 13 career interceptions, and just a good football player, a culture changer at the University of Minnesota, and he's going to bring that type of mentality here, and I think that'll come out tomorrow when you guys meet with him and spend some time with him. Just a really special kid that's a good football player.
Yeah, and they were even talking about, too, like, I heard some of the conversation, you know, when they made the phone call, like, they brought up leadership on the phone, so don't think that doesn't play a big factor in some of these guys getting picked. You know, they hope those traits carry over to the next level and with the NFL. So that's what the Giants are trying to do there. But we know their first round pick was indeed Malik Nabers, the wideout from LSU. He goes sixth overall. Very, very productive player. He's going to be the best friend of Daniel Jones, at least you hope, for the upcoming season. Nabers met the media yesterday and said, well, he gets open.
It's just second nature, you know. It's just me being an athlete, me being, you know, a dog, just going out there, always being that person that a quarterback can rely on, you know, giving the ball to, having that, you know, confidence in the, you know, in myself and the quarterback, you know, when the ball's in the quarterback hands, it's, you know, Malik's going to be open. So I'm glad I had that quarterback this year that was able to do that.
Malik's going to be open, so get Malik the ball. You know, that's the bottom line. That should be plaster all over T-shirts. Malik's going to be open. You know, there are some. Maybe it's fair, maybe it's not, but it seems like every guy that comes into the league, they have to have the comparisons, right? Like, I saw that on TV. As soon as a guy was drafted and they put up the placard on television, where he's from, what his strengths are, and then at the bottom, the last thing they say is what the NFL comp is. Well, a lot of people think that it's for Malik Nabers, another former LSU wide receiver, namely Jamar Chase. What does Malik think about those comparisons?
I'll probably say more of probably Jamar. You know, we got that same frame. You know, I get a lot of comparisons, you know, now daily, but I'm just focused on trying to be the best Malik Nabers I can possibly be.
I see, it's so funny that he says that, because that's kind of like the motto that I try to live my life with. I also try to be the best Malik Nabers that I can be. Every single day. Every day. And so, look, I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard. It's not easy. I have to work twice as hard at trying to be the best Malik Nabers that I can be. And hopefully I'm achieving that for my family, my friends, my loved ones, community. Next one, Harv.
Cross us.
Let's do some Jets. They got themselves a flashy new wide receiver last night as well, namely Malachi Corley. He has been nicknamed the Yak King. Yards after catch. Look at some of the film, by the way, from Western Kentucky. Running over dudes. But here we go with these comps again, because a lot of people think that Malachi Corley resembles somebody by the name of Deebo Samuel, who's also pretty darn good with the San Francisco 49ers. Do those comparisons strike a chord at all with Robert Saleh?
You could. You know, Deebo is a special player, so he's, I don't know if I want to compare him to anyone, but he's got his style. His style's true. You just have to watch his tape, and whatever comparisons come from that, come from it. But he's a tremendous young man, tremendous work ethic, and he's the best part about him is he still has a lot to grow with regards to growing as a wide receiver and within a pro-style offense. But there's one thing he does unbelievably, and that's when the ball's in his hand. He makes DBs pay, and he fights for extra yards. The guy doesn't run out of bounds, and I think I joked with Joe this morning, if he had a relative sitting at the goal line, he's going to run him over too. So it doesn't matter what he has. He's a good piece, great addition.
Well, run him over at the goal line. Just make sure you have the football with you so you get some credit for actually running over a loved one. So the Jets go offense with their first two selections. In the first round, of course, they go O-line, Olu Fashanu. Left tackle from Penn State. And think about it. Here's a young kid coming into the NFL, and the first time he puts his hand in the dirt and lines up, he's going to look over his shoulder, and he's protecting for a Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. What does he think about that?
Just to have the opportunity to be on the same team as a future Hall of Famer with Aaron Rodgers, you know, just growing up, watching him, all the great things that he's done throughout his career, and again, to just have that opportunity to be on the same team as him, again, just ask him any bits, tips, and advice for, you know, what made his career so successful. I mean, that's the best opportunity.
Nice to see. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, our buddy, our pal, he was on the Pat McAfee draft broadcast on Thursday night. And you know what? You heard Olu saying nice things about Aaron. Well, you know what? Aaron actually returned the favor on Thursday night once the pick was made with Olu Fashanu.
Olu is a mauler, and he had a incredible career at Penn State. He's not going to need to jump in right away at tackle for sure, see if we work him in a guard, but I think he's going to have a long career in the league, much longer than I'm going to be in New Jersey. So excited for him. Excited to welcome the team. It's a great O-line room, very well coached, and a lot of great personalities that we added to the mix. So excited about adding to the team.
Real quick, though, Rodgers referred to it. You know, it has been brought up here about the possibility. Could you kick him inside and have him play guard a little bit? I immediately checked in on that, too. Got the same answers. Hasn't done it yet. Not to say that it's impossible, but right now they look at him as a guy who's playing on the outside at the tackle position. But what about the upcoming season, Aaron? How excited are you getting ready for 2024?
There's an excitement. Obviously, it's going to build. You know, I think we'll be able to fly a slightly more under the radar this year, as we're not doing, I assume we're not doing Hard Knock, and we're a year removed from all that excitement. However, there will be a lot of excitement. There's a lot of fans in New York and Jersey who should be excited about it, too. We got a lot of things to accomplish this year, and we're excited about taking everybody along for the ride.
Aaron, guess what, buddy? You're not going to be flying under the radar. I mean, like, starting with, who's the quarterback? Oh, yeah, I forgot his name. They're not flying under the radar, okay? Hard knocks or no hard knocks. Don't you think every incomplete pass that Aaron Rodgers throws this year, it's going to be like, you know, the world is ending? They are not flying under the radar. Oh, my. Only everybody's job in the building is basically at stake. Nah, not flying under the radar. Let's move on, Harv. Last one.
Grasa us.
All right, this is the grand finale. This is what you waited for. This is all the hoopla. So, Indianapolis Colts. Okay, they're a team. They play football. They had themselves an interesting couple of days. Remember, they were the first team, actually, on Thursday night to go ahead and actually pick a defensive player. But yesterday, their pick in the second round was a wide receiver. Goes by the name of Adonai Mitchell. And there was a lot of criticism about that choice. You know, there was a lot of questions about his character. Maybe he isn't the right guy. You know, how do you do that if you're the Colts? Why did you take him? You could have had better players that were still on the board. Well, you know what? Last night, when the Colts draft was over, Chris Ballard, the general manager, having his media availability, and you know what? He wasn't having any of the second guessing. Enjoy this.
I don't know. I mean, I read some of the bullshit that was said on TV. I mean, just the typical, excuse my language, our typical lead, unnamed sources, you know, bad interview. That's such bull. I mean, it is. It's bull. Like, put your name on it. I'm tired of, we tear these young men down. These are 21, 22 young men. And if you can, if people out there can tell me they don't, they're perfect in their lives, it's crap. It's crap. This is a good kid. And, you know, for that, for those reports to come out, like, you know, my, I said it last year. It's bullshit. I'm sorry. I apologize for the language. I don't, but I do.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry, says Chris Ballard. You know what? That's refreshing. You know? We cleaned it up there for you in case there was any kids in the car listening, but that's refreshing. That's not your standard, because let's face it, 99.9% of the post-draft media availabilities with GMs and coaches, they sit at the podium and they say, we love this guy, we love that guy, we're fortunate to get this guy, he comes from a great family, comes from a great school, he only has takeout 3 days a week. Everything positive about the young man is what you hear. But Chris Ballard kept it real could be. And I like that. Now all he has to do is go out there and catch passes from Anthony Richardson and score touchdowns and validate the pick. Otherwise, you know, Chris Ballard's going to have to relive those comments, unfortunately. But you know what? That is going to go in the pantheon of great post-draft press conferences by any NFL executive. So bravo to Chris Ballard, really and truly. And you know what? Bravo to Grasa Us, because that was a very spirited Saturday edition. From heated seats to built-in Wi-Fi, Bay Ridge Mazda has cars with the premium features you crave. Get 0% financing on select new models and prices below MSRP across their entire selection. Plus, every new Mazda comes with 1 year of free oil changes and a free tire rotation. Visit them today at 9000 4th Avenue in Brooklyn or online at BayRidgeMazda.com. It's available to qualified buyers. Additional fees may apply. Must take same-day delivery. MSRP discounts not available on future or pre-sold inventory. See dealer for details. Ends 4/30/2024.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Wouldn't it be funny in sports if, like, a team, like the Rangers, for example, like, if you're on the verge of sweeping a series, like, could you imagine, because they got cameras on them, right? When they roll off the bus and they're walking into the arena, like, they're all carrying a broom. Like, wouldn't that be just, like, the ultimate? That would be funny, actually. Really would be. Let's say hi to Gus, who's in Lindenhurst. He's up next here on 98.7. Gus, how are you?
Good. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate
Hey, Gus.
It. I want to talk about the Knicks and the Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, this is a good time to have Randle. You know, be a little bit of a dirty player and kind of, like, just put and beat in his place. Even if it gets us in trouble a little bit, I want to, someone to just punch him, beat in the face, get them both ejected, you know? But, you know, Thibodeau did the right thing, played a good man role and held everyone in, like, a decent position to, like, not go overboard.
Well, it's you know, Gus, and I'll let you finish. It's not necessarily, like you said, be a dirty player, but no. I mean, Randle is somebody who brings that element of physicality. And, yeah, in this situation, in this series, the way it's unfolding, yeah, you certainly would like a little bit more of that presence, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just a little nervous. The thing,
Gus, I'm the one that's nervous. I'm talking to you. I'm the one that's nervous here. My God.
No, it's a, please. I'm sorry, I'm just like a little lost. But I'll just talk about the Rangers because that's my real team.
Yeah.
I do love that we have such great defense. We have six great, even seven. Jones is great. And it just puts us in such a good position to really go far. I think if we could have just gotten one more, like, defenseman to just stop anybody's player, like a Dan Girardi type of player, I think we would secure a Stanley Cup. But I can't complain, man. We're in a great position, and there's so much fun to watch all season long, and I'm really proud of them.
Well, think about – but, Gus, and thanks for the phone call. You're right, but, you know, think about the depth that you still have now, right? And that's what Chris Drury did at the trading deadline, bringing in those extra guys. You know, the fact that Zach Jones, Chad Ruedel – I mean, Ruedel was brought in. Zach Jones was here. But having those guys waiting in the wings, and they played valuable minutes down the stretch while Trouba was out of the lineup. Right? And then Peter Laviolette getting a little creative and breaking up those defense pairings, which had basically been that way for, what, the better part of 2 years? You know, and it's working now. I thought Trouba played a real, real good hockey game last night, as a matter of fact. Picked up a secondary assist. The way the Rangers beat you, I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, Igor could be the best goalie on the planet on any given night, but aside from that, you know, and I even talked about it with Dave Maloney in the pregame show yesterday. It's strength in numbers. You know, the depth is just out of this world, and that's what you want to have this year, especially, or not this year, but that's what you want to have this time of year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, going into that game last night, the Rangers scored 8 goals in the first 2 games by 8 different goal scorers. Not many teams could claim that. You know, last night, Barkley Goodrow getting a shorty, for crying out loud. And I know that it's Washington, but you know what? If you really are an elite team, this is what you should be doing to a so-called subpar opponent like the Washington Capitals. Lang in Connecticut up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Lang, how you doing?
Well, I'm not doing well, and it's unfortunate because, you know, every day I wake up and I think I'm going to be feeling a little better after what transpired, and I haven't. So I was at the game Thursday. As you can tell, my voice is still raspy. I woke up Thursday night driving home up the turnpike. I was mad with the Sixers, but then something interesting happened. I woke up Friday morning, and I was mad with the Knicks because at the end of the day, you need to set the tone. And nice guys do finish last. Why am I in section 400 in the assembly room at the Wells Fargo Center more chippy and more vocal for the Knicks than the Knicks? You know, why am I mixing it up with fans up there showing more emotion after one of their players gets pulled down than the players on the floor. If Dante DiVincenzo is your toughest guy, there's a problem, okay? There's a problem. We need to have a Isaiah Stewart. We need to have a Bobby Portis. We don't have one. It's not Jericho Sims. He's a nice guy, okay? Don't let the physique fool you, all right? Maybe it's OG. Maybe it's Precious. But for your starting center to get pulled down on a surgically operated ankle and for not one player to push. I mean, look at what happened last night with the Mavericks. P.J. Washington had Luka's back. He pushed the guy. All right, and sometimes it deserves to get a technical foul. The refs are not going to throw you out if you push someone. As long as you don't swing, there's a game within the game. You would think someone like Tibbs would know about it. He's an old-school guy. And the Knicks are losing to psychological warfare in this series. They're losing the game within the game. And you know what? Here's another thing. You can't win – everyone says, oh, the best revenge is to beat the Sixers and win the series. You can't win the series if you don't win the game within the game. So I am very concerned about tomorrow because
now, Lang, let me stop you for a second.
Everyone says this team are a bunch of dogs. They're not a bunch of dogs. The Knicks are a bunch of cats.
Yeah, but Lang, let me ask you a question though. At that time of the game, and then even a little bit later on when you got to half, Knicks had a lead at halftime. Your objective is to still win the game, is it not?
You got to stand up for one of your best players.
Yeah, but Lang, here's the thing. I expect, and I thank you for the phone call. We got to hit a break here, but I expect that to be the case tomorrow. But the bottom line is, you can't do something stupid to where then you're going to compromise your chances of winning a series. I mean, do you want to have the Patrick Ewing, PJ Brown thing happen from all those years ago, 25 years ago with the Knicks in Miami? You can't have that. So it's one thing being able to stand your ground and sticking up for your teammates and that sort of thing, but you can't do it at the expense of if it costs you maybe advancing. If one of those guys go out there and does something stupid and then because they're not a superstar like Embiid is, and you know how that's the way this league works. Think about all the crap that Draymond Green had to do before they finally were at wit's end and they have no recourse except to suspend him for a game in the NBA Finals. Remember, he was a part of the greatest show on earth, the Golden State Warriors at that time. It was the NBA Finals. It was a marquee event with LeBron James on the other team. And they finally were like, you know what? We can't overlook it anymore because the whole world is watching. It's the NBA Finals, and Draymond Green finally had to be suspended for a finals game. And it cost them a championship in all probability that year. Knicks can't do that. You know, they're not going to do anything to Embiid. He's a superstar. Because if they were going to do something, he should have been thrown out of that game the other night. What more example? It was plain to see from everybody. That was not basketball. That wasn't protecting yourself as he or the Sixers PR wants to spin it. That has nothing to do with self-defense or protection. It was a dirty, cross-the-line play. Period.
This is the Dan Grosser Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Rangers are back at it tomorrow evening, and on the microphone for that call is our next guest. You might have heard of his work. He is on the Michael Kay Show Monday through Friday on 98.7 ESPN. He was on the call last night for the Rangers 3-1 victory. His first name is Donald. His last name is LaGreca, and he joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm sitting here in an empty Capital One Arena waiting for the Rangers to hit the practice ice at noon.
Did you have to, like, climb through a window, or did they let you in?
No, they let me in.
You're fully credentialed.
I'm fully credentialed for this event. So I figured just for the ambiance, the echoing silence of an arena as opposed to my hotel room. But I took a nice brisk walk in a very overcast, dreary day here in D.C., but Ranger fans very excited to be 1-1 away and possibly their first sweep since they took care of the Thrashers way back in 2007.
What'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, nice little scrambled eggs and toast and fruit.
Ooh, coffee?
Oh, very nice. Nice little combination. Oh, were you kidding me? I can't start the day without a nice big cup of coffee. Although you would think that we would have the technology. I mean, I'm not going to be walking around with a thermos. I'm not a kindergartner. The problem with getting a large coffee, Dan, is that you just, it's not satisfying. It's cold by the time you get like halfway through.
Mm.
We should come up with some sort of a technology where it could stay warmer longer. And I know you're going to say, well, that's what they got, a thermos. Well, they don't offer a thermos at the coffee shop.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, and obviously it's not going to help you now while you're sitting in Capital One Arena, but they have almost like these electric heated coasters. Have you ever seen these?
No.
Yeah, so it's like essentially it acts as a coaster. You plug it into the wall, you put your mug of coffee or whatever on top of it, and it stays hot. It keeps the coffee hot.
Well, but when you're in transit, that doesn't work. It looks like I got to charge the phone, I got to charge the Fitbit, now I got to charge the way I heat my coffee. Enough already. I'll just drink it cold and just,
all right,
and
so
just complain.
You're sitting in Capital One Arena. The first question I have in regards to last night, and if there was any sort of carryover, from your vantage point right now, can you see any Rangers sitting in the penalty box?
I really believe the way they played last night. I thought they played well 5-on-5, and they have all series. You know, if you want to win the cup, you know, you hand Carolina or Florida or Boston or even Toronto 6 power plays, you're probably going to lose. And they were very fortunate to dodge that bullet. They went 6-for-6. They had a shorthanded goal. But let's face it, this Capitals team, God love them, they earned their way into the playoffs with a tortoise race at the end of the season with Philadelphia and Detroit to get into the playoffs in Pittsburgh. And they're down defensemen. They played most of the game last night without Van Riemsdyk. I mean, Dylan McIlrath, Ranger fans remember him, you know, getting major minutes because they're down to like their 10th, 11th defenseman in the organization. So the only way the Capitals can win this, win a game, is if you give them power play opportunities. Almost cost them in game two where they had to hold on for dear life with a 4-3 win. You know, and last night having to go 6-for-6 with a shorty to win the game 3-1 in your hearts and your throats. So stay out of the penalty box. And you could say, well, it's the officials, they're calling everything. Well, you know what? Some of them were ones that they would like to have back. So they want to finish this off tomorrow. Stay out of the penalty box, please.
And I know you might take it with a grain of salt given the opponent. And look, this is a diminished version of the Capitals, as you said, as opposed to the one that we've watched for the last, you know, 10, 15 years. But especially in that third period, Washington did try to throw the kitchen sink at Shesterkin and played very, very well again. And I guess if there's one thing you take with you into the next round, even though you're not officially there yet, is that the goaltender certainly looks to be in top form, which is going to be critical for this team to make another deep run.
And I thought it was key for Shesterkin last night, and also for the team overall, is the Carlson goal was not good. I don't know what happened with Shesterkin, whether it knuckled on him, change up, whether he just got handcuffed on it, whatever it was. It was a bad goal. And he responded by just being absolutely stellar. Point-blank saves on Wilson and Pacioretty. Another great save on a really bad turnover by Wenberg that resulted in LaPierre having a point-blank chance. So he recovered tremendously because that could be a goal, Dan, with the series still up for grabs. You know, 2-0, series doesn't change until a team loses a home game. Give up a bad goal down 1-0 that it can get in your head. And he was amazing and almost like it fueled him. The other thing from a team standpoint is they got bailed out 34 seconds later on the Kreider deflection to tie the game. So the team responded to the bad goal. Shesterkin responded to the bad goal. And you got to feel really good. There's so much talk about it. This team's play 5-on-5 and their power play and all that. They've got a world-class goaltender that when he's on his game, he's as good as anybody in this league. And certainly after that bad goal in the first period off Carlson's stick, he was tremendous last night and a major reason why they're up 3-0.
Don LaGreca is joining us. He's sitting in an empty Capital One Arena waiting for the Rangers skate today. They go for the series clincher tomorrow night right here on 98.7 ESPN, pregame beginning at 7:30. I know you take it with a grain of salt because this Capitals team, as we know, they are what they are. But do you think there is something to be gained at the way the Rangers are taking care of their business for the first three games of the series and that they're doing what any number one seed is supposed to do against an inferior opponent, and that's making quick work of this series and hopefully getting as much rest as possible for the next round?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, it's still hockey, right? I mean, it's not like, you know, the 76 Steelers going up against the expansion Buccaneers. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh, whatever it is, Washington is going to find a way to kind of hang around. They've got world-class players, and they're not a bad team. They're just not as good as the Rangers are. Yeah, but you look at Carolina, Carolina's taking care of business, but all those games were fairly close. The same for what's happening with Florida against Tampa. You know, so it's all about winning the game. It's not style points. Yeah, they, you know, the Capitals were in the game for the most part in game two, and they certainly hung around a little bit yesterday. But yeah, they're taking care of business. And when they are 5-on-5, they've been absolutely dominant. I think if the Rangers were a little bit more disciplined in this series, Dan, it would look cosmetically a lot, you know, better for the Rangers from a score standpoint. But this is exactly what you were hoping for. A one seed against an eight seed that barely got in and take care of business. And they got to, Dan. You look at Florida's up 3-0. That's a potential opponent in the conference final. Carolina's up 3-0. That's who they're playing next. They needed to have a short series. That's been an Achilles for this team forever, letting teams hang around, having to play 6- and 7-game series early, get some rest, take care of business tomorrow, get their first sweep in nearly two decades, and you hope if you're a Ranger fan, the Islanders put up some resistance and force a game five and all that, because that's the things that you need to be able to make a run is get some rest, and that's exactly what they can do if they can win the game tomorrow, because they are the one seed. They're the President's Trophy winner, and they're doing exactly what they should be doing.
And at the risk of putting the cart before the horse there, and I think you and I fall on the same side of the conversation because we've had plenty of talks about it. It's just, it's so unfortunate that we're going to be talking about, in all probability, a Rangers-Carolina second-round series, which should be good enough in most cases to be a conference final. And the fact that one of these two teams is going to be out in the second round, you can't tell me that that's good for the sport. You can't tell me it is.
Well, I don't like it. Listen, the league can tell you all you want about, well, we're trying to maintain interest in the first couple of rounds by having rivalries with teams playing within their division. Bull. They are all about the envy of the bracket, the March Madness. They want to be able to sell the bracket on NHL.com, fill out your bracket and all that garbage. That's what it's for. It's completely unfair. Same thing happening with Winnipeg and Colorado.
Yep.
Those are two of the best teams in the West, and one of them is going to be done. I mean, it just seems silly to me. And I also hate the argument, well, you're going to have to beat good teams to win the cup. Yeah, but you shouldn't have to face them in the second round. The league shouldn't see, like, literally Carolina and the Rangers are two of the best teams in the NHL. And for only one of them to be able to go to the conference final. Now, the rub is Florida's right there, too. So nobody's going to complain if it's Carolina, Florida, or Rangers, Florida in the conference final. But it does. I hate this format. It should be 1-8. The Rangers, who won the league with the President's Trophy, should always be assured of taking on the worst playoff team as they gradually move down the line, not have to take on a Carolina Hurricane team in the second round. But that's the way it is. And I was asked by Kay during the show on Friday, and a lot of people brought this up. Mm-hmm. Would it be a disappointment if the Rangers didn't win the Cup? Would it be a disappointment if the Rangers didn't go to the Stanley Cup Final? Well, take a look at their opponents coming up if they beat Washington. I mean, Carolina, Florida, these are amazing teams. You know, if the Rangers lose a hard-fought 7-game series against Carolina, is it just Carolina's better, or is it because there's a President's Trophy jinx? No, it means that there's some really good teams in this league. I think the Rangers are as good as anybody, but I respect Carolina. I respect Florida. No disrespect to the teams they're still playing, but they're up 3-0 for a reason. And I respect Boston and Toronto, too, but to more of an extent, Carolina and Florida, who I think they're going to have to go through to get to the Stanley Cup Final. Those are beast teams, and that's why sweeping this series is going to be important. You're going to need every advantage you get going against teams like that.
All right, the Nationals are in Miami to play the Marlins. So the Orioles are home today to play the A's at 4 o'clock. It's about an hour away, right, from where you are. Do we have any more clarity on how the day off in the nation's capital will be spent for Don LaGreca?
I don't know. See, I'm very much up in the air. Well, we got the practice. So I don't know. The weather is just not conducive. I thought it was going to be really nice. And if it's a beautiful day, shirt sleeves, watch a baseball game. But it's drizzling. It's like, it feels like it's 50 degrees. I'm not doing that. You got all these monuments. You got all this, the respect of the country. I'd rather have my day off in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Tampa, LA. So
you know what you should
we'll
do?
Figure
Here's
something
what you do.
Out, but I don't feel like getting on a train and going to Baltimore and seeing a baseball game where I don't have a rooting interest, you know, in a mist. Sit in my
Here's
own
what
filth.
You do. You go to the Lincoln, bring a sandwich with you, go to the Lincoln Memorial, plop yourself right down at Abe's feet, and just crack open a sandwich and watch the people pass you by. That's all you do. Like an animal.
Forrest Gump moment or something.
Like an animal.
Maybe catch up on some sleep and watch the Islanders, Hurricanes. Oh. We'll figure out something. We'll get a nice meal. Don't feel bad for me, Argentina. It's all going to work out. But I thought about the baseball. If the Nationals were home, I definitely would go. But
I like how you ad-libbed the lyrics there. Isn't it Don't Cry For Me, Argentina? You went with Don't Feel Bad For Me, Argentina. Imagine if the song was completely changed. That's what Sinatra used to do. He used to ad-lib the classics.
I think if they wrote the song today, those would be the lyrics.
You don't want anybody to have sorrow.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. We don't feel bad for me, Argentina.
Yeah, exactly. Well, enjoy Saturday, whatever is going to meet you the rest of the way. But enjoy the practice, and we'll talk again tomorrow night for the game.
Yeah, watching Filipino on the ice. I'm wondering when we're going to see him in an actual game. Could be very soon.
Wow. There you go. There's some breaking news for you. Phil Heidel continuing his skating prowess.
So it's not really breaking news. It's news.
It's news.
Have a good rest of your day, sir.
From heated seats to built-in Wi-Fi, Bay Ridge Mazda has cars with the premium features you crave. Get 0% financing on select new models and prices below MSRP across their entire selection. Plus, every new Mazda comes with 1 year of free oil changes and a free tire rotation. Visit them today at 9000 4th Avenue in Brooklyn or online at BayRidgeMazda.com. Available to qualified buyers, additional fees may apply. Must take same-day delivery. MSRP discounts not available on future or pre-sold inventory. See dealer for details. Ends 4/30/2024.
This is the Dan Grosse Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party coming up on Thursday, May 2. Come out to see the live broadcast starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew are going to take the train to Citi Field for the matinee against the Cubbies. If you're headed to the game, look for the pregame party in Lot E along Roosevelt Avenue near the 7 Line. It's brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Celebrate the no-frills good life with Montauk Brewing Company, maker of New York's favorite craft beer, Wave Chaser IPA, a highly approachable brew that is packed tropical hops and delivers endless flavor. Chase your wave. And by Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. Please, Zing Zang responsibly. All right, you got the NFL draft final day today. As far as the locals, Jets have 5 picks as of now, 3 in the 4th round, a 6, and a 7. Giants have a 4, a 5, and a 6. Islander coverage begins at 1:30 right here on 98.7 as they try to stave off elimination against the Carolina Hurricanes. Mets are taking on the Cardinals as the City Connect uniforms debut at 4 o'clock. Yankees Brewers coming up tonight at 7 as the Yanks try to get back into that series. NYCFC takes on Charlotte FC at 7:30, and Harvey will be at the Red Bulls game as they welcome in the Vancouver Whitecaps for a 7:30 affair. Any chance that maybe Vancouver's suffering some jet lag and that'll play into the result tonight, Harv?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've always disliked that whole West Coast or East Coast traveling to the other coast type of stuff. Like, no, play the game.
I just can't believe Vancouver as a team, and we're talking about them in Major League Soccer.
The Whitecaps have been alive for like around 50 years.
I know, but that's probably the last time I probably paid attention to the MLS as well. But nevertheless, I hope have a good time, my friend, and I hope your team wins. And I hope everybody has a great Saturday and a great Sunday. Thanks to Don LaGreca, and thanks to Jordan Renan. Thanks to Joe, and thanks to Harvey, and thanks to everybody that listened, tweeted, called, and were a part of this program. Couldn't do it without you. I'll be back tomorrow, a day-night double dip with the Knicks and Rangers in a full uninterrupted vehicle Monday at 6:30. Anita's next. Grass is saying enjoy your Saturday on 98.7 ESPN.
Don't feel bad for me, Argentina.
Well, thank you for the full vehicle today.